Hey guys, Lance Erline here. We're Houston. We're the city of champions. How about I give you another champion? If you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. They're champions. Free consultations are available 24/7. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW and DaspitLaw.com.
It's John and Lance.
What in the hell is wrong with him?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell, here with you for the next 3 hours on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And what? Okay. I don't know what the lead is today. Because what happens more, which is rarer? An Astros home win or the Texans picking up a big-name player?
Texans picking up a big name.
No, it's not rare. Not lately.
It's actually really rare. Free agency is one thing.
Daniil, it doesn't matter. They picked up big name players.
This Joe is bigger Mixon, than Daniil Hunter.
They picked up who, a bunch
name
of
all the
big
name.
The Astros only have two wins.
Name all the big name
the
players
Astros
they
only
picked
have
up.
Two wins.
The lead is Stephon Diggs of the Texans, without question.
No,
the Texans are now.
The Astros winning at home is
well,
rare,
we'll get their time.
Beat.
We got 157 more games to go, or 150. For yeah. whatever, but the Texans, we were off the air. We were literally leaving the air when this broke.
155.
We were literally off the air when this broke.
Right.
Going off the air.
We were going
and
off
so
the air.
We haven't had a chance.
But
now,
Dell
I talked
broke
about
it,
a lot.
We broke it. We actually broke the news.
Yeah, we broke the story
right.
here.
Thanks to Dell.
But what a huge move for the Houston Texans. Houston Texans end up getting Stephon Diggs. He is he's somebody who gets easily disenchanted. All right, we know that. Happened in Minnesota, happened in Buffalo. At some point, it'll probably happen in Houston. But I think you just want to get 2 years minimum out of Diggs and hope for three. And if that can happen, that is inside the window of the rookie contract for C.J. Stroud. But what this is actually where Bill, when Bill O'Brien was trading away two first-round picks to go for it now, with a left tackle, and you can't protect the quarterback with just one offensive lineman. It's a five-man job, sometimes six-man job. I always thought that was the dumbest thing that that's not a go-for-it-now move, and they didn't have a go-for-it-now team. This is a go-for-it-now move. This is a second-round pick, and it's not even a second all the way. They do give up a second-rounder, but they get a fifth and a sixth in return for Stephon Diggs, and this is a go-for-it-now move because the Texans could not, but it doesn't cripple them at all. They give up next year's second-round pick that they got from the Vikings when they traded out of 23. So if you're doing the math, the Houston Texans traded this year's 23 and got Stephon Diggs, got a second-round pick this year, 46 or whatever it is this year, and a fifth and a sixth. That's what the Texans got out of that first round. Their 23rd pick got them three draft picks and Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, it's 46 and then 59, right. So they got the 46 this year, and they got Stephon Diggs and a fifth and a sixth. And we were wondering, why is he doing that? And because Minnesota wanted to move up, but he wanted to do this as well and not still have a second-round pick next year. Nick Caserio is doing a hell of a job. Now they probably rework Diggs. They've got him through 2027.
If we rework him, it's because he's mad about his contract.
Yeah, or
it's not because your salary cap number is actually in the low 20s, which is pretty good for a wide
receiver.
But
you can still build up. You can get yourself. They got about 11 left right now, and he probably wants a little bit more. They give him some upfront money here. It'll lower that number.
Make him happy.
Yeah, and make him happy as well. So the question is how long before he blows it up?
So, you know, Sebastian, as a Colts fan, my son is really unhappy with the Texans offseason.
Right.
Extraordinarily unhappy with the Texans offseason. You know, and he goes, yeah. I said, so Sebastian, are the Colts better than the Texans? He goes, no. And Mason kept pressing because Mason's a Texans fan. And he goes, yeah, so who's going to win the division? He goes, I don't know. He said, I will say the Texans are going to be good for at least 8 weeks before Stephon loses it. He said, so I'll tell you that. He goes, anywhere from 5 to 8 weeks, you should be really good.
Nah.
And then after that, it falls apart. I think he'll be good for the first year for sure, maybe the second year. By year three, I don't know if Stephon Diggs can help himself. But I also think that you've got a unique scenario, and young quarterback that he may vibe with more in you know, Kirk Cousins wasn't his type. Josh Allen's not his type. Maybe C.J. Stroud will be his type. From a head coaching standpoint, I don't know if it's head coaching issues, offense coordinator. He's a diva wide. This is our first real diva wide receiver. Cooks was not a diva, but he's in that. He's a pain in the ass.
Yeah,
Brandon Cooks is obviously a pain in the ass. Everybody trades him. I don't know if he's a diva. This is our first real life journey into diva wide receiver. But what you get with diva wide receiver is usually a really good player. And so, John, you look at it now, and without question, you and I have been covering this team since their inception. Nico Collins, Stephon Diggs, Tank Dell, Dalton Schultz. Nothing from the Texans even comes close to this. I mean, you had Andre Johnson, of course, which, you know, he's great. Andre Johnson, Kevin Walter, Owen Daniels. Foster. Yeah, you didn't really have a slot. Back then, you didn't use a slot as much.
No, that was pretty good. That was pretty good
one. That was good. You had Kevin Walter. Who's the Kevin Walter on this team? There is no Kevin Walter on this
team. Well, you don't have Kevin Walter. You got Nico and you got Tank.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's much better than Kevin Walter. Better.
Yeah, absolutely. But how long do you have Nico? That's a question, too. And if you do get rid of Nico in that offseason, what's Stephon Diggs going to say about your chance? Because your chances are not going to be as good. And anytime in the postseason, he doesn't play
more
a big
catches
role
for him. He'll
He's
be fine.
Going to be, I don't know.
If Nico's gone, who gets more catches? Him. Trust me. He'll be fine with more catches.
He'll be fine with more catches, but he also wants to win. And one of the things is in big games, he wants to be a focal point.
Yeah, he wants to win as long as he's a focal point.
Is he going to be, if Tank is a focal point, let's say it's week four, week five. Let's say it's against Kansas City or it's against Buffalo, one of the teams that the first place teams that the Texans have to face. And it's Tank who's starring or Nico who's starring. Is he going to have issues?
That's something that
you're going to have to deal with.
Yeah, it's a legitimate question because for the Texans, what makes the Texans special now is they have three different players who could go off in any given game. It could be Diggs, it could be Tank Dell, it could be, and I'm not even counting Schultz who can have big games, but it's Tank, it's Diggs, and it's Nico Collins. Any one of those guys could go for 120 and two touchdowns in any given game. That's what makes the Texans potentially so dangerous this year. And maybe, you know, a real strong favorite to challenge the Chiefs in the AFC is because they can beat you in a variety of ways. But that's what makes it good. You can't get away from that. It's got to be the best matchup on that particular game. It's got to be C.J. Stroud, full field reads, understanding that he goes to everyone. Like, part of the success of this team will be based upon whether or not they can generate balanced offense with their offensive threats, because that's what's going to make them tough. And if you start locking in on, you know, if you start locking in on one guy, or if a wide receiver starts complaining to a quarterback about getting the ball, it's not going to be great. Now, I also think everything I've been told about C.J. Stroud is he doesn't put up with it. Like, C.J. holds his ground against everybody. It's one of the reasons he got into it, Bobby Slowick, during the meeting that they had pre-draft, is because when he's challenged, you know, he's going to stand his ground. And I don't think he's going to get, you know, he's not just going to smile off the stuff like Josh Allen did. I think C.J. will have some things to say to Diggs if it becomes an issue.
But how much happier is Diggs going to be in Houston than in Buffalo?
See, I think that's a big part.
That's a huge
where
part.
He lives, it's, yeah. It's going to be
playing
warmer.
Playing in warm weather.
Uh-huh.
You know, most of the time, half your games at least are going to be in a dome with that doesn't open, so you don't ever have to
play
worry.
Play Minnesota like
about
that.
About being a cult. But he still had to live in Minnesota. In
No. I think
he's going to like it a lot.
I do too.
Yeah, I think he's going to be, hopefully he'll be. His brother was extremely happy. Trayvon was.
Well, I want to keep Trayvon happy.
Yeah. Well,
because he, you know, Trayvon Diggs will get on social media and let us know when he's not happy with Stephon Diggs. So this is the first Texans' first foray into big boy expectations and big boy issue. Like, we could potentially be gossip fodder now on ESPN. ESPN to start their show. It's Stephon Diggs of the Texans is the number one lead story on their,
which is nice,
in their stories, which is nice. But I think really, you know, we focused on some things that could go wrong with Stephon Diggs. Let's talk about the reality. Stephon Diggs can eat up first and second level routes. Nico Collins can do route, you know, level two and level three, and Tank can pretty much do all three levels, short, medium, and deep. Bobby Slowick has the enviable task of creating an offense that allows him to, I don't know if he changes any route structures. I don't know if he goes into the lab and draws up new plays, but I still think Diggs is going to be a high target player. I think he gets the most targets of any Texan. He's also, Buffalo started using him a lot with catch and run stuff underneath, which Tank can also do. So kind of an extension of the running game, just boop, quick hitters and go take off and get your yardage. This is really a fun exercise for Bobby Slowick and how to maximize what you have. Kyle Shanahan's done it with Ayuk, with Debo, with the wide receivers and running backs he's had. Now Bobby Slowick gets a chance to do it. And listen, Bobby Slowick, unless this gets royally screwed up this year, he is going to be the guy next year. I mean, he may be the number one guy based on how the Texans offense could perform.
Yeah.
He could be the number one guy when it comes to head coaching
job. When you have success, you're going to. And when you have the weapons that he has. Now, he better utilize them, because if he's not, if in fact the Texans do stall and don't have an explosive top five offense, then Bobby Slowick is going to hear it. The pressure is on now. Let me ask you this question. I don't know. San Francisco maybe still has the number one weapons between Ayuk and Debo and McCaffrey and Kittle. That's pretty good.
It's pretty close. I think Houston might be ahead of them.
Well, that's a good. I mean,
Kittle's getting older. Do you add Mixon?
So is Schultz. I mean, Schultz's been Mixon? Around a little bit.
But wide receiving core.
Yeah, Mixon absolutely is added.
Our wide receiving core here in Houston is better than San Francisco's.
Yeah, I like Ayuk and Debo, though. I mean, that's not
I do, too.
That's
do you
not
like,
disrespectful.
Do you like, I'm not being disrespectful. Yeah. I like Tank, Stephon Diggs, and Nico Collins better than their three.
Yeah. Yes, I mean, McCaffrey
Debo Samuel,
better.
Let's remember, Debo Samuel doesn't run routes really down the field a whole lot.
And Kittle, surprisingly, his stats aren't nearly as big as you would think.
No. He's not been as
but
big
neither
as
was, neither
last
Schultz,
year he was.
Neither are Schultz's. But
Schultz is going to be the fourth option.
Schultz is, or maybe the fifth. Mixon's going to get a lot of catches out of the backfield.
No, I think from a skill position standpoint, now throwing quarterback, the Texans have San Francisco beat. There's nobody that matches.
The Lions?
I've gone through this yesterday. Nobody matches the Texans. Keep going.
Yeah. Amon-Ra.
Burrow, the closest you
Porta,
get is
Sam
Burrow. Laporta. Burrow, T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase. That's really, really strong. But then you run out of a little bit of gas at tight end.
And running back.
Yeah.
Because you took this.
And third wide receiver.
Yeah.
Because Tyler Boyd is gone.
Yeah.
So they've got that little Nate Irwin, the little white guy. Who actually had a pretty good game against Texas.
Oh, a little white guy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not afraid of a little white guy.
It's Trent Irwin, by the way.
The only little white guy I'm afraid of
be
is
respectful.
Like...
Be respectful. It's Trent Irwin, not Nate.
Whatever.
No, that's what I'm saying.
No one even knows his first name.
The white guy.
I'll take...
With the blonde hair.
I'll take the master over the protege. I'll take Kyle Shanahan over Bobby Slowick. So I think that
well,
helps
as
San Francisco's
coach?
Calls. Yes.
Yeah.
Why? Just because he gets the Super Bowls?
Now,
yeah,
your weapons.
Yeah, just because. Just now, because
think,
of that.
I think.
really?
Yes. Just
oh,
because
that's
of
why?
That. Yes.
Now, I think Miami is in the mix, obviously, with you got two burning fast guys. You got Achan. Who's the other running back?
Mostert scored over 20 touchdowns last year.
Yeah, Mostert
is
that's
fast,
strong.
Too.
Now, who's your third wide receiver?
That might be something they approach.
Ooh,
the draft.
Dookie Stains. What about
what?
Tight end?
Dookie. Well, they got Jonnu Smith.
Dookie Stains.
Dookie.
Dookie.
Nothing.
Oh, I'm sorry. He's not Dalton Schultz. The great Dalton Schultz.
Who you got? You had left. Who left last this offseason?
Gesicki. Don't care.
He's been gone for a couple years now.
Has it been 2 years?
Yes.
So Jonnu, who was your tight end last year?
They kept Durham Smythe. It's Jonnu Smith they added.
Ooh.
Well, I didn't. I'm just.
Who cares about your raggedy ass team outside? You're too short.
You brought it.
Tiny fast guys. You have tiny fast guys. We've got Tank Dell, who's bigger than them.
No, he's not.
And probably faster, if we're being honest.
Yeah, probably.
No, he's not.
Stephon Diggs might be faster, actually.
That's not the case.
No, you don't know.
No, we all know.
Yeah, we do. We do kind of know. I guess. You know what? I don't know that anybody has.
They're
better.
Up there. They're right in the. You can't compare them to others and go, no, immediately. The Texans are right there when we in terms of weapons.
So now we see whether or not they're going to be right there in terms of, I mean, we got a lot of quotes from a lot of people that we will hear from today about, including let's talk Astros in the next segment. But after that, let's hear from somebody who said the Texans got fleeced. The Texans got fleeced.
So fleeced was trending yesterday, and I clicked it, and everything's Buffalo. Everything was about the Bills getting fleeced.
No.
But somebody else has got
the
Texans now? Okay.
He's trying to make a name from. He's trying really, really hard. Okay. But here's Doc Linville, who tries really hard for you, too. Tries to make your hair better. And you know what? This is just a side job for Doc, too. And yet, it's like, you guys have really responded, and you turned him into one of the biggest hair replacement guys in the city. I mean, he said, I think I'm second or something like that. And this was just something that he's decided to, but it's because of you, the 97.5 listener. For whatever reason, we are more follically challenged. And you know what? If you are follically challenged, Doc Linville is here for you. It's so easy. The neo-grafting is easy. It's painless, basically. You've got a 3 days, an anesthetic that you are going to not feel at all. It's going to be, I did it on Friday, back to work on Monday. Fred did it. On Friday, was back to work on Friday. That's how easy it was for him. You're looking for the best way. And not only that, but you've also got the PRP, which stimulates the growth. Doc will decide which one is best for you. You decide that you have to do something about your hairline or your bald spot. Now, do it. Go to 975hair.com, 975hair.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Houston is all systems go.
You are listening to Houston's longest running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance. And we shouted loud,
our brand of the Astros starting pitch. Now, it wasn't great last night, but it's still scoreless. I saw a stat, what was it, 23 and a third consecutive scoreless innings out of the starters right now, or some stupid number, 22, whatever the number was, but it's over 20 innings, consecutive innings of no runs by the Astros starters. Now, Javier was not, this is not what you want to see. I mean, he only gave up one hit, but five walks and three strikeouts.
Yeah, that's really scary.
That's scary. That's too many base runners, first of all.
What, has he given up two hits so far this year? He's given up two hits. That's it. But we all know the
you
scary.
You can't get him past the fifth inning. He's got 90 pitches.
The scary thing is, I mean, the Astros in their two wins, they've had a no-hitter and a one-hitter.
Yeah.
The scary thing is,
a one-hitter in their loss.
Yeah, but five. You're right. Five walks, three strikeouts is. I know you guys. Some of you are going to say sky is falling type talk from us. But that's the kind of stuff that we saw last year when he really struggled, is allowing men on base unnecessarily and not getting a strikeout per nine. That's part of who he is. When he's on, when he's dealing, he is a strikeout per nine guy. And three strikeouts in five innings and 97. He threw 97 pitches and had 51 strikes. We're at 46 walks to 51 strikes. It's not where you want to be if you're Javier. The result is good. The process wasn't great. The trip there wasn't great, but the results in the box score, you think, oh, it looks good. But the five walks, he did have a hard time locating. But I mean, they didn't put bat on ball on him. He allowed one hit.
Yep.
I think he's gone 10 innings with two hits so far, but the walks and strikeouts, the first game, he did not have that issue with the walks. But yesterday, wasn't it nice to see, Yordan kind of get off the, get off the launching pad.
What about, I mean, the Blue Jays got to be leaving here going, what the hell? We got no hit. We got one hit. And then the only game that we won, we couldn't do anything until a two-run homer with two outs in the ninth inning. They got to be leaving here going, we can't hit this team. And yet they still won one of the games. Just ridiculous. But neither here nor there. Yordan broke out last night and just destroyed those baseballs. Just destroyed it. Chris Bassett, did you see him when he was walking off the field and Yordan's, after Yordan made the third out of one of its at bats?
Oh, yeah.
Bassett,
he's like, you're killing me.
You're effing killing me.
Yeah. If you see his stats, Yordan kills him.
Yeah. Five homers, I think 8 for 18, five homers off of him. Just stupid. He can really see the ball off of him. It was nice to see Kyle Tucker with a couple more hits. Who leads the league in hits this year. Can you tell me?
Mm-mm.
You know who leads the league?
Who?
In hits?
Not Yiner.
Yiner.
Is he Yiner?
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, Yiner's freaky now.
Despite Soto and everybody else.
He may be Pudge Rodriguez.
He may be Pudge. I mean, he is.
Because Pudge could hit with power. Pudge hit with average. Pudge could throw it.
There's no question. He is special. And John Singleton picked up a hit. So we got a hit out of first base, everybody. We got a hit out of... It has got to be the weakest position, the weakest first base offense. First base is supposed to be a big offensive position.
Mm.
It's got to be the weakest in all of baseball for the last 2 years now.
I hope Abreu turns it around, because Singleton has never had a major league season hitting over 200. Never. And we know his journey. It's a great story, but it's not the story of a full-time starter. It just simply doesn't happen in real life very often. And what Singleton is a good story. He's got a chance to, you know, theoretically hit a home run for you off the bench. He's not even going to be a platoon first baseman. He's not good enough. He's not a good enough hitter to do that. And so if Abreu starts to tank as an older player this year, like he did for much of last year before he had that, you know, he came back after an injury and was pretty good. But if that's the outlier, not great. I don't know if the Astros will. I don't know what they'll do about it. I think they'll just have to have a hole in their lineup.
See, I think that there's a good possibility, you know, that Espada's not going to put up with it like Dusty did. He's not going to have that kind of patience. I mean, you already see Singleton going in there. He's started a couple of games now. I don't know that it can be Singleton, and I don't know that he'll have patience with Singleton either. Maybe it's Greg Kessinger. Maybe it's Dubon on an everyday basis at first. Or
would
most
he be the
of,
smallest
most of
first
the time.
Baseman in history?
No, he's played first, though.
He's
got a good enough glove to
he's
play.
Got, anyway. No, he's got a good glove. I'm just saying he's a small target. He'd be one of the smallest corner fielders.
Yeah.
I mean, Alex Bregman's not a big guy, but he's well put together. I don't remember a first baseman ever being that small of stature.
Yeah, probably.
Like ever.
It's, you know, you want a bigger target. There's no question about that. But I could certainly see where Espada won't have the kind of pace. And Dusty left him in the cleanup hole for most of the season. That's how the kind of patience that Dusty had last year with, because of his name, because he was a veteran, as opposed to the youngsters like Yiner and Chaz, who I got to protect for everybody. I don't know that Espada's. I hope he's not going to have that kind of patience with him. If Abreu has to sit next to him because Abreu's not contributing, then that's what's going to have to happen. And we'll see. Now, Jeremy Peña looks like a different guy right
mm-hmm.
now. He looks like a different guy.
Jeremy Peña looks great right now. He looks like the rookie Peña.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened last year. I know he said his swing got all out of kilter and he couldn't fix it during the year. But, man, does he look different this year. And it's huge. It's huge. We talk a lot about, can Bregman get off to the good start? Can Javier and Hunter Brown? You know, it's the same guys over and over that you say it's very, very important. It's very crucial. But, frankly, if Peña's hitting well, it dampens the issue with your first baseman not hitting well. Like, you've got to have a balance.
Yeah.
Something has to be a plus if that first base is going to be a minus. Because there's actually a decent chance first base is a hole. Hey, it was a hole for most of the, when they won a World Series, it was an issue with pretty much for the entire year with Yuli. It really was, for whatever reason, Yuli just fell apart. And of course, we know he came to life in the postseason, but that was just an issue you had to deal with. But Peña was good.
Yeah.
But Peña was good.
Yeah. No, well, the back end, hopefully.
It'll be
interesting to see how much Dubon, where Jake Meyers lands now. Now that we're getting on an everyday basis, they got the day off today as they travel to the Rangers for four games where they own. That's their home. That's the home of the Houston Astros. They own that stadium.
This is the first series win for the Astros at home since September. They had a series against the Padres. September 8th, 9th, 10th, where they lost the first one 11-2, then they won 7-5, then they won 12-2. That was the last series they had won at home. They lost the series to the Oakland A's, 2 out of 3. They lost 2 out of 3 to the Royals. Two out of three to the A's, two out of three to the Orioles. They were swept by the Royals.
Yep.
And then this is the first one, and I'm not even getting into not being able to win in a postseason at home. So you got to go back. This is the first series win since early September, basically September whatever it is, 8 through the 10th. It's nice to get a series win. It's nice to have a one-hitter and a no-hitter under your belt, too.
Absolutely. 728 ESPN 97.
A little bit of Crush City, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Some, right. You know, a little more power this year
so far. The Astros, they've out-homered their opponents 12-6. They've outscored their opponents, whatever it is. They've out-hit their opponents. Their starting pitching is the best in the league, the best ERA in the league, and they're 2-5. Mm-hmm. And they're 2-5. It's so ridiculous. So ridiculous. But hopefully now, as they go home to Arlington, it's going to be much better. GimmeTheVIN.com is much better. I don't know what your options are, but GimmeTheVIN.com is the best option for you to sell your car. Sell us your car. GimmeTheVIN.com. It's so easy, you can do it in your underwear. I beg you, please. Don't do it in your underwear just in case your camera is on. I don't know if you heard, but the government is watching you through your camera. So don't do it in your underwear. Put clothes on and then sell your car to John Clay Wolf. He is a guy who's going to buy it for more. He's a guy who has built up a huge, over $1 billion business. Okay, it's crazy how big this thing has gotten because John Clay Wolf is really, really, really good at buying cars and then selling them at auction. He does pay. I mean, when you got a huge box store, what happens? You pay less because you buy in bulk and you sell it for less. So that's the attraction to everybody to go to the big box stores. Well, that's the same attraction to go to GiveMeTheVIN.com because he buys in bulk. He pays more and sells for less and makes less money at auction. But because he does such volume, he's got himself a huge, huge business. So if you're going to sell your vehicle, one place to go, GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back. Before we get to this fleecing that the Bills did of the Texans, did you see the Rangers and Devils fight? It was like slap shot.
Oh, it's old school?
It was a slap shot. They dropped the puck, and five fights broke out all at once. The puck was just non-existent
a full-on five-on-five line brawl.
Yeah, yeah.
How would you like to be out there like,
I got to do this?
No.
And the other eight of them got, so if in the NHL, whoever declares the fight first, they don't get ejected. If you declare the fight.
Wait.
The other eight guys, they got ejected because they were second. They were second fights in.
Oh, the two guys who start.
The two fight. Rempe and, yeah, it was Rempe against McDermott. And those two went, you want to go? Yeah, you want to go? Yeah, we'll go. You want to go? Yeah, we'll go. And they went at it, and they didn't get ejected. The whole thing was because in the previous time that the Rangers and Devils played, Rempe, who's just a goon.
This guy fights
every single game.
Was this to start the game?
It's to start, yeah, the puck was dropped to start the game, and they all just started fighting.
I mean, I'm watching now. Well, I've got to pause because I want to catch all the issues, but one guy from the Devils jumped the Ranger before the puck even dropped.
Yeah, but before it.
It was on. So everyone on the bench knew. And so that's one of those things.
Yeah.
So we talked to a hockey. I remember being on your TV show, talking to Moose Morissette, who was one of the fighters.
Cool.
And I said, how do you know you're going to fight? He goes, well, you ask the guy. You say, hey, you know, you want to go. We got to go. We got to go here. You know that. And then, you know, they go. And I said, is it like, are you pissed off? And
No.
He's like, that's my job. You know, my job is to.
Racist.
And that's their job. He said, so we will. You know, we go, we fight.
Yeah.
But he said, but you know, that's just part of the job. You just tell them. And he said, hey, we got to go right now. And he goes, yeah, we'll go right now.
So,
and it's like a conversation. And I'm watching everyone, and everyone on both sides knew. Just, like,
they knew. No. They decided before. Because Rempe, in the previous game, threw an elbow at Singlethalet and knocked him out. And it was a 4-game suspension for Rempe. He got that. It was so bad that the elbow that he threw to the jaw that he got suspended for it. So they knew going into this game, we're going. I mean, first thing, Rempe, we're going after you. And they did. And they went after
Well, hold on. Okay, so I'm watching the two who faced off didn't fight each other.
No, no.
He went and skated over. Is that Rempe
like,
he went after?
That was just like Slapshot 2. You'll remember the one guy that skated around. I don't know if you ever saw Slapshot. It's an all-time great movie. Paul Newman. And the guy who picked up the trophy and took off all this, did a strip tease at the end, but took off all his clothes. Oh. He hated all the fighting. He used to watch the Hanson brothers.
Yeah.
Remember?
Who the goons?
The Hanson brothers who were awesome. This was just like Slapshot. It was just like Slapshot. Just awesome.
I only see two going out of
there. By the way,
right
I'm
now.
Going next Tuesday. Coming up. Yeah, Tuesday night. I'm going to the Stars and the Sabres in Dallas. Yeah.
That's your cousin, right?
That's my cousin. He coaches the Sabres, yeah. So we're going to go up there and watch him play.
Tony?
No, Donnie, his brother.
What about
Tony's Rocco? Fighting cancer. Tony.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah, Tony was the head coach of Wisconsin. Then he was he quit. He stopped doing that, and he was a Blackhawks announcer, and he had to quit this year because he's fighting cancer. So best of luck to him.
Your boy Rempe did not make out as well.
Well, they just stopped. That was so long, through so many punches. Nobody went to the ice. The referees were waiting, and finally they just wore themselves out so bad that they just broke up the fight. Mm-hmm. Usually it doesn't break up until you hit the ice, but they just kept firing haymakers. They tired themselves out. All right, so the Texans traded for Stephon Diggs, gave up Minnesota's second-round pick next year, and the Texans get a fifth and sixth back. They got Stephon Diggs. They still have their pick and Minnesota's second-round pick this year. I mean, everybody is lauding Nick Caserio for picking up. With the 23rd pick, you got Stephon Diggs, a second-rounder this year, and a fifth and a sixth. Everyone lauding the Houston Texans and Nick Caserio for doing this.
Everyone, universally.
Except one Emmanuel Acho.
Shady, I don't like the move, but I do think it was a smart one. I think it was real smart. It was smart to move on from Stephon Diggs because you always have to sell high. Buy low, sell high. Okay. The Bills, they bought incredibly high with Stephon Diggs. Y'all know they're paying him a premium. But then they traded him for a second-round pick? That's great math. Remember, Randy Moss at age 30 got a fourth-round pick. Stephon Diggs got a second. The Buffalo Bills know better than anybody if Stephon Diggs is over the hill, if his talent is deteriorating. The Bills know that. So if you are able to fleece the Texans for a second-round pick in the most wide receiver-heavy draft we have seen in a mighty long time, this is the time to do it. It's about 6 or 7 first-round grade talents at the wide receiver position in this draft. So if you can move on from a $28 million a year caliber receiver in Stephon Diggs and get yourself a $2 million a year receiver, or maybe a $2 million in totality of his contract receiver in a second round, that's what you have to do.
Thanks.
Incredibly
right.
Good timing by the Bills. If you were going to move on, sell high because you already bought high, Joy.
All right.
Does he know what Randy Moss did in his 30-year-old season?
Yeah, well, he was on the... Well, now...
Because I'll let you know. Randy Moss, after he's referencing Randy Moss going from Oakland to New England,
by
of
the
course.
Way, Randy was a massive pain in the ass,
well,
which means
Diggs.
You have no... Yeah,
massive pain in
you,
the ass.
You have no leverage when it happens.
Fourth round pick, Randy Moss, traded to New England. 1,493 yards, 23 touchdowns. So, I mean, I get what he's doing, but that's the wrong guy to pick when we're talking. Oh, he went for fourth... Well... Do you think the Raiders got value for that guy? So if we're talking about people getting fleeced, the Raiders got fleeced. They traded a fourth-round pick for a guy who went for 23 touchdowns.
Well, he was comparing. You only got four.
No, I know what he's saying. So you're saying they know he's deteriorating. Well, the Raiders may have thought the same.
Well,
and look what happened to him.
Is he deteriorating? That's a question.
Well, he may not be the same.
Well, he – okay, so his 4 years in Buffalo. Listen, before Buffalo, he wasn't an all-pro. With Buffalo, Josh Allen, and Josh Allen wasn't an all-pro before he got the combination was tremendous. He had 1,500 yards, 1,200 yards, 1,400 yards, 1,183 yards last year. He had 8 touchdowns, 10 touchdowns, 11 touchdowns, 8 touchdowns last year. Well, part of the reason that he is disgruntled in Buffalo maybe was because he wasn't getting the use that he had. He did have 160 targets, which was pretty close to, I mean, he had 166, 164, 154, 160 targets.
His targets are the same. His targets are the same.
127 catches, 103, 108, 107 catches. I mean,
four straight years over 100 catches.
Now, he had fewer yards this year.
Okay, he also was thrown. That's what I was talking about, a lot more catch and run stuff, which the one thing I will say is that NFL teams follow the next-gen data, and they'll go look at your speed, and it's one of the ways they determine, looking at your acceleration, deceleration, looking at your top-end speed, they'll determine if you're losing something speed-wise. I would imagine the Texans have done that and know. I mean, this data is available to everyone. They'll know if he's lost a step. But even if he's lost a step, Buffalo was still able to get him the ball shorter, and he still did. And you've got Nico Collins to go deep. So, he was the guy last year.
So is there a possibility, though, that Acho is right in saying that he is deteriorating and he may not be the same guy as he has
been? Yeah, there's
been.
Always that possibility. Where he screwed up is using the word fleeced, which is what he tried to do for clout.
Right.
What he could have said, everything else was okay. You know, get rid of him now. There's a deep wide receiver draft. You get a second round pick. All that stuff's great. Now, what he probably doesn't realize is it's next year's second. So you didn't get the second from the Texans this year.
But maybe,
you got it next year.
Well, you maybe should have given up your own. Again, Buffalo, that's the question. Minnesota might be picking pretty high.
The pick they got was Buffalo's. I mean, he's got to be talking about Buffalo addressing the wide receiver with their pick. I got to see if they have a second round pick, but they don't get one from the Texans in 2025. No. They have their own. Yeah, it's a deep wide receiver draft, but Buffalo drafts late in the second, unless they had a trade. Yeah. They're drafting earlier. But the other thing was to say, fleeced, look, you gave up a second, but you also got a fifth and a sixth back. What that amounts to is a third round pick. So the Texans, from a trade value standpoint, gave up what amounts to a third, like an early third round pick is what it amounts to after you kick in the trade chart value. It was a good deal for the Texans, and it was one that Buffalo had to make. He became too big a pain in the ass. If you have all the leverage, okay, Justin Fields went for a sixth that could move to a fourth. Justin wasn't a pain in the ass, but the Bears told everybody, we're going to do right by Justin. Okay, where do you want to go, Justin? Pittsburgh. Well, you don't have any leverage now. Pittsburgh knows it's us or nobody.
Yeah. Is this trade comparable in any way to D-Hop? To the trade the Texans
yes.
made? Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Now, yeah, because D-Hop was still a very, very good wide receiver, but he was starting to trend towards the back end a little bit.
Well, and he had good years there.
I think it's very similar. And so Bill O'Brien was, this is, but you know what? We clowned Bill O'Brien, rightfully so. They took on a bad contract that made it worse, David Johnson's contract.
But that was the problem.
But the difference was Houston didn't have to, like, that was not a leverage issue. No, Houston had leverage.
And I think, yeah, that's the problem, is the Bills just wanted to get that pain in the ass out of there.
Yeah.
And you remember
the one that we compared the D-Hop trade to was Stephon Diggs, because Diggs brought back the first round. That was the comparison, is you screwed this up. You didn't get a first, and Stephon Diggs did. Do you even know about new money? Do you even know about new money? New money. Bill, you should have gotten
a
first.
You mean like Laramie Tunsil? And you gave up two first-rounders for?
Exactly. Exactly. He didn't like that, by the way, either. And then I said, yeah, but why take on that running back contract? Oh, why are you so mad?
All right, 713-780-3776, the number to hang with us here. Come on, what do you think of the trade? What do you think? Your Astros won, the Texans won yesterday. We're a winning city again. I mean, it turned in a hurry yesterday.
We got a big game tonight, too.
Oh, my God, we got a huge game tonight. We can talk about that, too, on the other side. Let's go to Artisan Grange right now. Let's talk about your dipping habit. It's gross. You're sitting in the car right now. You're sitting in the car right now, and you know who you are. You just texted me a little while ago. You play golf, and you sit in that car, okay, and you know I'm talking to you right now. You dip, and it's gross, so stop it, okay? Stop it. Stop with the dip. Stop with grossness. Your teeth are awful. You got spittle all over yourself. It's not cool, okay? Stop trying to be cool or something. It's not cool to dip. So what you do? You get yourself off of it. Clean. Do it in a clean way. You know how you do it cleanly? With Artisan Grange. You do it with the Canstead and the Dublin. Hemp in a pouch made of hemp, but you still get the flavor that you're looking for. You still have the sensation between your cheek and gum, right? So here's the deal. You're looking to wean yourself off that nicotine and tobacco, which is killing you. Do it with CBD oil that's helping you, okay? CBD American Shaman has them in their stores because what? Because it's good, and they love it. You're looking to, for a great way to get off that dip, 975dip.com, 975dip.com.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest running sports radio morning show from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John and Lance.
All right, 750 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 713-780-3776 is the number. Let's get, come on. I need you guys. I mean, you are so, they've been so lazy the last
honestly, a no-hitter. You've got a no-hitter that is thrown, a one-hitter. Then you got the Texans trading for Stephon Diggs. I want to hear from Texans fans right now about your excitement level. This is, you don't have to let us just do all the talking. 713-780-3776. Legitimately, and I said this before they even made free agent moves, because I knew they had a lot of money to spend and they had draft picks. I really felt like the Texans were going to be a serious contender and threat for the Chiefs this year. Now, after free agency, I feel actually stronger about that. Last year at this exact time, the odds of the Texans winning a Super Bowl were 2,000 to 1. They were plus $20,000 to win a Super Bowl, the longest shot on the board. There were two teams that were like that. This year, right now, they are
10 to 1. It's incredible.
In 1 year.
Pat McAfee was put it, but he said, listen, a year and a half ago, it was the worst organization in football. It was garbage. There was no hope. The wide receiver room was considered, them and the Titans were considered the worst wide receiver rooms in the NFL.
We went through that.
Yes.
We went through that because there was no Tank Dell.
It was garbage. The organization was garbage.
You didn't have the first pick, which everyone, a lot of people are acting like, you know, what was the big deal? Why were all you people liking Bryce Young instead of C.J. Stroud? The whole city almost caught fire when Bryce Young was not going to be the pick, and the Texans won their last game. That's a rewriting of history that people are acting like.
Not only that, that Davis Mills play that won that Colts game.
Can you thank him?
Changed. I mean, while everybody was, the next day I was like, it's one pick, everybody. Then I was like, I wish we had Bryce Young.
Well, no,
I'll admit it. I thought, yeah.
Of us in Houston, yeah, I know there's a couple stragglers out there, but that completion is the butterfly effect where, can you imagine that one completion in the play for Davis Mills to extend? He should get an extension just for extending that play. And
he changed the organization.
It changed the whole trajectory of the organization. Oh. Now, they would have drafted Will. They probably would have drafted Will Anderson, and then I don't know what they would have done at quarterback. Maybe waited until this year. But
they would have drafted Bryce Young.
If they got the first pick, they would have drafted Bryce Young.
Yeah.
And I got that. I got that confirmed.
Yes.
From somebody who knows the owner, Bryce Young would have been the guy.
Yes. Bryce Young would have been the guy,
and he would have actually been pretty good.
No, he would have been okay. I mean, but it wouldn't be what it is today. Everybody wants to play with CJ. I mean, everybody wants to sit in a hot tub with CJ, right?
And maybe they drafted Tank. Remember CJ Stroud?
The little guy, the comedian, he did it.
I don't know if everybody
Kevin Hart did.
Kevin Hart.
Yes. Yeah, and his cold
tub. But CJ is the one who pushed hard for Tank Dell, right?
Yes. They're boys, allegedly. CJ said, would draft him.
Well, maybe that had an impact.
Maybe. Uncle Ted wants to get in here and talk about the Texans. Hey, Uncle Ted.
Hey, what's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
Good, man.
We're good.
So I have to say that as much credit as we're giving Nick Caserio, we have to throw DeMeco in there. DeMeco and Bobby are changing the culture there. Never have I ever, and I'm a Cowboys fan, never have I ever seen the Texans in national news for anything good. For off-season moves is what I'm saying. Like, no. When have you ever seen them?
Never.
This many decisions good. Never, right?
Never. Like, never. Time. You can't think of one. The Texans are the envy of other organizations now. which is insane to think of. People are buying Cal McNair shirts. Cal McNair is a celebrity around town.
The turnaround for this organization, and it's specifically Cal, is one of the most amazing turnarounds.
They couldn't post social media posts.
No, because everybody said sell the team, dumpster fire, all of this stuff. They could not. Jack Easterby. All of the turnaround has been the most remarkable turnaround I can remember. Honestly, do we know of an organization that has gone from the doldrums, the crap that the Texans were just a year and a half ago, to what they are today? It's amazing. It's amazing what they've done. Who's gone? Diggs? Okay, so here's the wide receiver room. Diggs, Nico, Tank, Woods, Brown, Mechie, Hutchinson. Who's gone? Woods?
I think Mechie is going to be one because Diggs can play in the slot too. So I think Mechie's going to have a hard time making a team. Sucks because he was a second, but whatever. I think Mechie and potentially Woods, yeah.
Brown's here. He just had a $5 million and something. I mean, you got a lot four of it is guaranteed.
You got four of the clear wide receivers. Should it be?
It should be Woods.
Yeah. I think maybe both years are guaranteed.
That's all right. I mean, and he's a veteran. You're going to take an L here.
He's a veteran.
Maybe it's Hutchinson.
It could be Hutchinson. He's not a...
Put him on the...
He's a big guy. No, I mean, Hutchinson's cheap.
Would somebody grab him off the practice squad?
Hutchinson?
Yeah.
Possibly. Possibly. Yeah, possibly.
Mechie?
We'll let him fight for it. I think Mechie's got a hard job because he's not an outside receiver. He's a slot. Tank and Stephon Diggs can both play the slot. Mechie's not a big separator. Like, I don't know what Mechie's just kind of a guy, unfortunately. Wanted him to be more, but I kind of thought they overdrafted him. I thought he was, you know, more like a late third-round pick. He's solid. He can make it on another team, but he's just – I don't know if the Texans want to keep a guy who's just – he's not a special teams player either. Xavier Hutchinson, I think, plays special teams, so – that's going to be critical, too. Which one of these guys, these wide receivers at the back end, because Noah Brown's making it. So if you're a fifth receiver, do you play special teams? Because if the answer is you don't play special teams,
you're
you may have a hard time making it.
Yep, you may be out. 757, we got a full board filling up right now. 713-780-3776. So we will get you all in. Anyway, let's go. 713, you got to be excited about this. Everybody yesterday, I saw everybody, Diggs. This is huge. This is awesome. The Texans have as many and better, maybe the best weapons in the NFL. Maybe the best weapons in the NFL now. Let's go. 713-780-3776. First, I'm talking about my peeps over at Chastain Ford. Chastain Ford is where you get I love Chastain Ford. You will love Chastain Ford too, because Chastain Ford is going to give you the best deal without, they are not going to add on. They're not going to mark up. There's so much more though, right? You can also get $20 off the Works oil change when you come in on Saturdays. Okay. The Works package is $79.95. Recommended every 5,000 miles. Oil change and tire rotation includes 6 quarts of Motorcraft, tire, gas, taxes, disposal, some non-Ford taxes, a synthetic motor blend. You got the tire rotation, gas engines only, taxes and disposal not included. Some non-Ford vehicles are going to be higher. Taxes and disposal of extra. You are getting a great, great deal. And $20 off the $79.95 Works package. So you're looking for a great way to maintain your car. The service department at Chastain Ford is second to none. You are going to love it. They also have where they come to you. If you've got a fleet of vehicles, they can come and fix your vehicles on site where you are. You don't have to bring them in. You don't have to tow them in. They'll go to you. Okay, but here's the deal. You're not going to get better service than anybody than Chastain Ford. Love them. You'll love them too. Join the Chastain family on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown Chastain Ford.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.